Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Well, in this show, we get into the new Ford Raptor that's announced. I'll give you an update on my Lincoln Aviator Black Label. Cadillac's got some flamethrowers coming out.
I got some hot sedans from
and
Cadillac.
Some M1 talk as well. What do you got?
You know, Dodge was ranked number one for initial quality and best driver appeal for mass market brands by J.D. Power. It's the first U.S. brand ever to be ranked number one in initial quality and appeal in the same year. So see your local Dodge dealer or visit Dodge.com to schedule your test drive today.
Hey, this is TV personality Eric Bolling
and NFL Hall of Famer Brett Favre.
We're coming together for a new weekly podcast. Everyone, you got to subscribe. Bowling with Favre, from politics, sports, finance, culture, nothing off the tables, maybe even a Kardashian comment. One of the disappointing things of the whole Trump administration was when he left office and pardoned 143 people, the Tiger King didn't get a pardon. I mean, are you kidding me?
I watched one episode, by the way.
He was a good guy.
Was he, though?
I don't know. I liked him a lot more than Carol Baskin.
Get new shows every week from Podcast One and LiveByLive.com. Old friends, great stories, intriguing conversation on Bowling with Favre.
We may talk a little hunting. That's your neck of the woods, Brett.
And biking.
And biking and hiking. Subscribe now to the Podcast One app, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, LiveByLive.com, and everywhere you get your favorite podcasts.
Get on, Mandy. Get it on. Welcome to CarCast. I'm Chris. Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea over there.
Hello.
All right. Much to talk about in this episode. I got thoughts on the Lincoln Aviator Black Label I just got. New Ford Raptor announced.
Today, this morning, it's been exciting news. Yesterday and today, exciting news. Super hot Cadillacs and new Raptor.
And we got Paul Walker's M1 going on Bring a Trailer for $500K. I was watching that. I love me some M1s. So much to get into. The M1, I don't know what the street-going version of the M1s are going for these days. I would reckon it's somewhere between 4 and 5. 5 seems like a pretty good price for a street M1, BMW M1's kind of moved up a few years back, and I feel like they've leveled off in recent years. This one had the big body kit on it, so it looks like the ones we love, the race cars. Also has the basket weave rims with the center lock look, although I had to look at it closely to see the fine line.
Yeah.
So the center lock's just a knockout to get you to the lugs, essentially.
Yeah, it's an interesting vehicle because, like you said, it's kind of dressed up cosmetically like the pro cars, but it is a street car.
Right. Yeah, and I dig it. I think it's nice. I don't know, you know, what it does to the value of the car having it modified that way. Obviously, didn't hurt much, but I don't know. Max Zapata, can you figure out what some of these M1 street cars had gone for in recent months or years?
And some of the comments on Bring a Trailer were saying that, you know, this was at the higher end, I think. And I know there was a little bit of the, you know, Paul Walker previously owning the car, a little bit of a premium for that, you know, which makes sense. And it's a kind of a unique car. It was a little slightly modified, had a little extra horsepower and stuff as well on it. So I'm sure it's a fun car to kind of
fill around. Yeah. I don't think you're going to get hurt on that car for $500K. The question is sort of would be, what would a clean, untouched M1 street car go for in its place? Did it get a little bump because of Walker and because of the modifications? Because sometimes you do the mods and it doesn't help, depending on who did it, when you did it, and that kind of thing. Anyway.
Yeah, let's see. If I brought up a few on Hammer Time.
And also that, and Max Patty, you can look up that the Stratus auction too. There's another BMW, our CSL big bodied car, Group 5 Batmobile. That thing was up to 550 or something like that the other day. Now the question is that's good. It's getting some bids and some eyeballs. I still think that's $1 million+ car. So, you know, it's at 550 with 2 days left or 3 days left. Mm-hmm. If it stalls out at 675, I think that's a no sale.
Well, we have a M1 at Gooding and Scottsdale 2020 sold for 368. We've got a no reserve Gooding 2018 at 467.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another high dollar one. I'm trying to find out why it was so high. Well, this is going back a few years. The 2015 one stalled out at 675.
That's in 16?
Yeah, in 16. Yeah.
So that's when people wanted, that's when people thought they were going to get more for that car.
Yeah.
I told you it's dipped down a little. Current bid for the CSL Batmobile with the Sebring history, I think, is 650. So that's moving along. What is there, 2 days? 2.5 days? 2 days left. So it'll be interesting to see where that thing goes because it's getting some action and it's a real car.
These seem to be going the past 2 years selling for just under $400,000 for the M1 streetcar. So
all right,
I guess there is a premium for Paul Walker.
But we'll never know because of the body kit and the paint job and the modifications. But all right. And now the Lincoln Aviator Black Label.
Grand Touring Hybrid.
Yeah. It's nice.
They don't even write it all on the sticker anymore. They wrote BL Grand Touring.
It's very, it's a very smooth car. I never say that, but after driving the Z car around on the highways and freeways of Southern California, it's a smooth car.
Yeah.
It's very smooth. It's got all the bells and the whistles. It's nice. It does a few things that, like, it doesn't seem like that much, but it kind of lets you know you're in the luxury world, which is I have this bad habit of getting in my car and getting out the garage and getting down the driveway and putting my seatbelt on when I get to the first signal on the small street by my house,
right.
You know, and or sometimes I'll just stop at the gas station that's on the corner and I'll jump back in the car and it's the middle of the night. I don't want to put my seatbelt on. I'm just going up the street, going home. And the Z car will let you know.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's annoying.
Yeah.
And it will force you to put that seatbelt on. The Aviator gives you some time, and then it has this sort of mild chime that's not annoying at all.
Yeah.
So you can kind of ignore it for the three blocks until you get home and not deal with it. Whereas the Z car is like you're going to have an epileptic seizure if you do not fasten that seatbelt.
Yeah. You know, if I recall this correctly, all the little chimes and things that are in the Aviator, Ford went to the Detroit Philharmonic, I think, and had them record all the lovely sounds.
Yeah. Well, look, I don't know, you know, I don't know what DOT requires. DOT requires some sound at some decibel setting.
Yes, and probably some alert on the dash, right? There's probably a little red icon.
That I can ignore with my little ripe sticker that I pull off my bananas and avocados.
I was just going to say, yeah. So, why does the dash say naturally organic?
So that's not a problem. But, so little things like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't do all the annoying kind of buzzers like with the Infiniti when you'd pull it into the garage and you're getting too close to the wall at the end of the garage, but it's such a big truck, you have to pull it all the way up or the garage door won't close. And so the last 3 feet's a lot of like, I know what I'm doing. But so just like for that alone, just like literally if more car companies, and it's also the kind of thing that you don't really discover until you own the car for a little while. So it's not really a selling point at the dealership. But it is nice not to be, I have hypervigilance. So I go, I'm like a little kid with ADD. Like when the thing starts buzzing at me, I'm like, just make it stop, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's nice. It does a lot of really nice things.
I had two interesting experiences with the parking sensors. Is one, I was driving recently, last week, the refreshed Jaguar F-Type coupe, the little, mm-hmm. the gorgeous little sporty, mm-hmm. you know, F-Type R.
Saw one this morning.
And that one kind of default to the parking, front parking meter off, and there's a little button on the touchscreen that you hit it as you're pulling up close. You can hit it and it'll start to beep for you. But the default mode is no, we don't have it on. I'm sure there's some setting to turn it on and off, but the way this car was set up, I would just pull in, you know, I just pull into the grocery store or whatever, and the car parked in front of me. I didn't get the beep. I know where that thing is. But mm-hmm. when I can't see it, I can hit that button and get the beeps when I want it. That was kind of interesting to turn that on and off. And then the car I've been driving this week is the Lexus LC500 convertible. Their mm-hmm. flagship convertible. By the way, absolutely gorgeous. This thing is, it's beautiful inside and out. V8 naturally aspirated, something like 480 or 460 something horsepower. It has a muscle car sound to it. It actually sounds great. You have to turn the radio down to hear the beeping noise because, unlike the huge, loud, annoying, it's very quiet and subtle. I'm sure somebody got into the settings and controlled the volume and kind of had mm-hmm. it turned down a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of nice having the subtle version of it because it mm-hmm. doesn't put you into that I'm angry at it mode.
Right.
It was just kind of a light beep, beep, beep. But both of those cars are fantastic, although quite different. Maybe you'd cross shop them because the Jag is $110,000 and the Lexus is $110,000.
In the convertible or
yeah.
the coupe?
Yeah, the convertible that I'm driving. I think the coupe is probably a few grand less, but
yeah.
I will tell you that the convertible, because it is a proper soft top, it's not the convertible mm-hmm. Hard top. That engine sounds great, and then when you drop the top, you get that sound, and it's just fantastic. Of course, when you get into that luxury world, you know it's got heated seats and it's got mm-hmm. heated steering wheel, mm-hmm. But it'll blow hot air on your neck. Out of the headrest. It'll blow warm air. So if you want to drop the top and,
all right.
you know, like now our days are kind of nice. It gets a little chilly at night. Mm-hmm. You want to blast home because I like the top down only literally like at night. I'm more of a, you know, see the sky at night and a little less,
yeah.
you know, sun in the face yeah, yeah. kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it blows the hot air on your neck and it is kind of lovely.
yeah. So then there's the new Raptor.
There's a new Raptor. So, you know, obviously, I love this kind of friendly battle that Ram is having with their TRX, mm-hmm. their T-Rex, and the Raptor. So Ford this morning, as we're recording this, was saying, hey, we're going to announce a new Raptor, 2021 Raptor. What everyone was expecting was a big V8 engine, the GT500 engine, and there was no announcement of that. All they said was, this summer you will get a Raptor. Next year, we will have a Raptor R as a second variant, and everyone's mm-hmm. expecting the big V8. Because I know you're super into off-roading and you're really into these things,
yeah,
but here's the one thing I think you're going to appreciate is because it's a very functional vehicle, it still needs the tow and needs to haul the bacon, but no leaf springs now. It has a 5-link coil spring in the back. It has a Panhard bar. So we get a lot more articulation. You can see in some of the photos things happening there. So off-road capability is going to be fantastic. 37-inch tires are available. I don't have they didn't announce the horsepower, but it'll be a slight bump in horsepower. And the most important thing is an improved sound. One of the biggest gripes of the current Raptor with the V6 is it doesn't sound good, even with an aftermarket exhaust. It's not the best sounding.
Well, because turbocharging motors are, you know, by nature kind of muffled.
Yeah.
You know, because obviously the exhaust doesn't run out into the exhaust. It runs into the turbo. So they're quieter and they don't have the I mean, they have their own sound, but they're not going to give you that American muscle, throaty V8 kind of wiggle because turbochargers, like I said, when I was at Riverside a million years ago in like 1981 or something, not with my dad, of course, but I went with my friend John Gillingham's stepdad and him. And when we'd stand on that back straight up on that bridge, the RX-7s would go by and they'd be like screaming.
Yeah.
And then the 935s would go by and they just sound like, and at that point they were in Top Gear and they were going 185 miles an hour, but they just sound like the wind.
And that's the nature of the engine, the displacement, the turbos. I mean, those don't even have exhaust. They just got a pipe, the down tube coming off the turbo. So people that have muscled with the, futzed around with the Raptor, it's like, it's tough to get the sound. Some people like it, which is fine, but not everybody does. It's been one of the gripes. But there are a few cool things that on the new F-150 are going to show up on the Raptor. One is their trail mode. It's a one-pedal trail mode. So if you want to kind of rock climb or go through the trails, you hit the gas. Obviously, it moves forward. You let off the gas. It electronically applies the brakes. So you don't need a two-footer. Uh-huh. You can kind of brace yourself and hold on. Mm-hmm. That's kind of cool. And although it is not a hybrid, you can get an available 2-kilowatt onboard generator, so you can still, in the bed of the truck, plug your stuff in and power your campsite, because a lot of people go off, you know, in the desert for the weekend. So that is kind of cool as well. Of course, it has wireless phone charging and CarPlay and Android and all the fun, you know, new tech bits that you would expect into it. It's got a little bit more, slightly better ground clearance, slightly better suspension travel, a little more, and slightly more towing and hauling capacity to the TRX. So much to the point, it's just really about a press release. If you could tow 90 pounds more or haul like 100 pounds extra, who cares? But everybody's just going for that, like, oh, we're best in class towing, we're best in class off-road. So that's what they're doing. But I kind of like that, you know, that little battle, you know, like, oh, TRX is better suspension, better high speed. And then, you know, a few months later, we've got, you know, it's kind of like the Nürburgring records. As soon as somebody tests one, 4 months later, somebody's out there with another car going, oh, I can beat that.
Yeah, I do think at the end of the day, there's Dodge guys and there's Ford guys. And, you know, you take Sean at the other shop, he's a Dodge guy. And so he's going to get that Raptor, or he's going to get the TRX.
Yeah.
You're more of a Ford guy. You're probably going to get the Raptor. And the 90 pounds this way or the 2 inches of travel that way, at the end of the day, are probably not going to sway that many people. Because I think it's safe to say that in the automotive world, like, I used to be a BMW guy, and I got M3s all the time, and Drew loved his M5, and I was a BMW guy. And then BMW started messing with their styling a little bit, and I even think they weren't as reliable as some of the other cars, and they're still really pretty expensive. And then I started kind of shifting to other brands and other makes. Like, I was just thinking about it. I was just driving a Lincoln. You know, going, here I am sitting in a Lincoln. I never thought about driving a Lincoln. But, sorry, what I wanted to say was, truck guys are different. They have their brand. They love their brand. You couldn't talk to Sean about getting him into a Ford. He's a Dodge guy.
Right. And he likes to have that fun conversation about Ford versus Dodge. But, like, yeah, in your specific scenario, you went from an E46 BMW to an Audi S4, I believe. You know,
right.
But for those reasons, like, Audi stepped up their game and made it more competitive. And you're like, oh, this is nice. And it's fast. And it's still sporty. And it's a little different.
But then I found out it had a single piston front brake.
Those rear brakes are lies.
With a big, big dust shield on it that said like Audi performance or something.
Or like an S4 or something.
S4. But when I told my assistant Jay, we'll change the brake pads ourselves.
Yeah.
Lift the front of the car, pop the rims, pop the, when I saw that dust plate fall off and there was a single piston front, single piston front in your performance package.
Yeah.
I said, feh.
You mourned for days.
I did. On the other hand, Lynette had the Audi A7, and that was a dream to drive. That's still a cool car.
Yeah, and there's an RS7, which is nuts. I think your buddy Chris Morgan had one for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Or he had S7? RS7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fast and Furious. Yeah, he's got to worry about the car he drives. He doesn't want to get any shit from Vin Diesel.
From Vin Diesel. Vin Diesel Dodge. I'm sure Vin Diesel doesn't own a Dodge. But he drove it up to Monterey. He drove his RS7 up to Monterey as his little road trip car.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it's a nice piece.
Yeah, I drove one of those too. That's a beast of a car. It's not a small car.
No.
It's just...
No, it's a real grand tour.
Yeah, it's where we are with these super sedans. Like we were talking about last week, this M5 CS, the 647 horsepower M5, 0-60 in 3.5 seconds. Like, you know, for $142,000, limited edition. Like, this is where we are with sedans.
Right.
You could just get kind of a beast of a vehicle.
Well, I feel like with all this Dodge talk, you ought to do your Dodge spot.
Yeah, all right. I'll do that. You know, Dodge has officially opened the doors of the new 2021, open orders, really, of the 2021 Dodge Durango SRT Hellcat. It's the most powerful SUV ever. I just put in a request to try to test drive one of these things because exclusive for 2021, it features 710 horsepower. It's got a new aggressive exterior styling and a new interior with a driver-centric cockpit. I looked at some of the specs. It's like 0-60 in 3.5 seconds in a vehicle the size of your Aviator. It's a three-passenger thing. And the part I like is all buyers will receive a full day of pro instruction at the Bondurant High Performance School of Driving, which you definitely should do if you get one of these things. Deliveries begin early this year. And you guys know that Dodge was ranked number one in initial quality and best driver appeal for mass market brands by J.D. Power. It's the first brand ever to be ranked number one in initial quality and appeal in the same year. So see your local Dodge dealer or visit Dodge.com today to schedule your test drive.
All right. So what else we got? We got Cadillac.
Cadillac. So Cadillac, as we know, had the ATS and the CTS. And the hot versions were the ATS-V and the CTS-V. The ATS is the small sedan. The CTS was the mid-size, slightly larger sedan. And they were both were fantastic. And I guess it's just sort of this halo move to get people into the Cadillac brand.
Mm-hmm.
They announced a new CT4V Blackwing and a CT5V Blackwing, and both will be available with a manual transmission.
Mm.
And they look fantastic. The CT4 has the 3.6-liter V6 twin turbo. It's going to have 472 horsepower and I believe 445 pound-feet of torque. And the engines in the manual cars receive titanium connecting rods, revised crankshaft counterweights. The manual has rev matching and no lift shift functionality, so you can bang gears in this thing. And the little car, if you will, we'll do 0-60 in 3.8 seconds with the V6 twin turbo.
Is anyone going to do sequential anything?
Well,
I got to tell you, driving that Corvette race car with the sequential, I'd never driven a sequential, but I had ridden a lot of motorcycles, which are always sequential. So I understood sort of the concept of up and down pretty well from riding motorcycles. But I got in that car, and in 5 minutes, I was like, oh, this is the way to go.
Well, the version of that in streetcars are the paddle shifters. You were at the track. We just Speed Vegas. You were in the Shelby GT500.
Mm-hmm.
That's a true DCT. That's a manual transmission, but it's completely paddle shifted.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, you can bang gears up and down in that thing as much as you want to, and it basically acts as a sequential.
I still got to say...
You want to do it with a stick.
Well, maybe it's just old man Corolla, but I mean, the problem with the paddles for me is I'm never really clear on the downshift. I suppose if I did it for 10 minutes, I'd get used to it. But that the stick shift, it just feels so organic. And you don't need two hands on the wheel. That's totally overrated. especially yeah. going into a turn.
When I went out and drove in Irwindale, and we were doing that stock car race, the instructor guy there who races very fast, for some odd reason, just the way he gets comfortable in the car is he's in his seat and you can't really move, and he puts one arm up. He just puts one arm up and he drives the whole thing and shifts and everything with one arm. And it has is like his shoulder has to be up, like his elbow above his shoulder.
Yeah.
And like almost like he's got his arm around his date. he does the whole race that way.
Hmm.
And he's fast. He wins. But anyway, so that's the CT I'm sorry, the CT5 or the CT4. The CT5, we won't be able to do this for very long, but the CT5V Blackwing is saying, hey, we're going to stick with our supercharged 6.2-liter pushrod V8 and some improvements to the intake exhaust, 668 horsepower, 659 pound-feet of torque.
Wow.
And as we mentioned, it'll have a transmission with a dual-disc clutch, rev-matching, no-lift shifting, and you can get a 10-speed automatic as well. Electronically controlled limited slip differential. It's rear wheel drive, which is going to be it's the only way you can get it. So don't expect anything all wheel drive here. 0 to 60 in 3.7 seconds, 200 mile an hour top speed. I just love the idea of just big V8. You know, obviously Dodge has been doing this with their Hellcat engines for, you know, seems like forever.
Mm-hmm.
And they've even spoken up and they said, look, there's a demand for horsepower. We're selling 50,000 Hellcats a year through the various models.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a demand for horsepower, but with the Biden administration and increased regulations and miles per gallon and emissions, he goes, we're just not going to be able to do it with big V8 power and you know, expect electrification to come into the works, possibly all-wheel drive. We can do, you know, gas engines on the front or the back and then electric motors. He goes, but this is sort of the last hurrah of Dodge Hellcat engines over the next maybe couple of years. But the fact that Cadillac is saying, yeah, we understand that too, but we're going to take our last shot. We're going to introduce a new vehicle and we're going to make 668 horsepower mm-hmm. supercharged V8. I don't know. I kind of love that idea. And it looks good, right? So it's interesting because I was thinking, I don't know how many people are going to go out and buy this thing with the manual transmission. But then I started thinking, you're not going to have that anymore sooner than later. So yeah, this is the cool car you want to go out and probably get.
And also, I think the savvy car guys have figured out, as we've discussed on previous episodes, that getting a unique version of a car, you know, you go out and you buy the standard fare Aston Martin or whatever high end, whatever, you're going to lose money down the road.
Mm-hmm.
But get the one-off, and I don't mean one-off, but get the special R yeah. version with the stick shift and the sun and the radio delete or something, and
yeah.
you're not. That's going to be a good investment,
right? 8 years from now, you're going to do well on Bring a Trailer with that car. I mean, look at the CTSVs now. The few that are available with a manual transmission, or the CTSV wagon with the 6-speed manual,
mm-hmm.
is a cool car, and they always do very well on Bring a Trailer. For understandably, that's badass. You know, a wagon with a manual and 640 horsepower or whatever it is,
right,
is fantastic. So I don't know. I just and with the twin disc clutch that handles the power and how easy we can make the shifting these days, it's not a chore to drive. You know, a manual transmission. As somebody coming from a fairly modern car, although the 370Z is a little long in the tooth, that's an easy shifting, easy driving, rev matching, you know, up and down, as you stated last week.
Yeah.
You know, you drove that thing
I
for a few weeks.
I oftentimes reflect on how retarded my statement was about how the car should have known if I was downshifting or upshifting.
Yeah.
I
maybe
guess
if you could yell it like Siri.
Well,
370Z upshift.
One could one, but I guess one. I guess the car could know because if you started applying the brake, it could know you were downshifting. Am I getting further into insane conversations, or is that a possibility? Because when I do you know, when you do downshift, you clutch in, start applying the brake, blip it, drop it down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah. I suppose
if you're good, the brake and the blip are happening at the same time with a little roll of the foot.
Yeah, but it's not, mm-hmm. The brake is momentarily,
yeah.
you know, even yeah. the guys that are good at it, not me, but the guys that are good at it start first, you know, ball of the foot on the brake and then roll onto the accelerator. Yeah. So obviously with computers, they could figure out in that millisecond as the brake is being applied and roll the blip in versus the upshift where you're not yeah. touching the brake. Well, I guess figure it out that way.
Well, you
right?
could. First of all, our brake light switch is so sensitive that the slightest pressure on the brake obviously hits the brake lights, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, as soon as that comes on, it could give it the blip.
Am I making that up, Maxipata? Do you think there are cars that are wired that way? Was your Mustang Bullet wired that way?
I don't remember specifically, but since...
Because I drove that car, and I don't remember... The Z car is... It does catch your attention when yeah. you're going from... When you're going from fourth to fifth, and it goes... Vroom!
Yeah. That's a good question. I don't know, but I got the Mach 1 on order, so in a couple of months, it's got rev matching.
This is a fine episode of Google Me Right. Google Me Right, Maxipata.
He's going to go 14 pages of you being wrong. He's going to find the one Reddit forum and is like,
yes,
it's,
I've been Googled correct.
You can find any answer you're looking for.
Yeah,
on Google.
But it was interesting. Like, I don't remember that when I was driving that Bullet around, which I drove it for 10 minutes, but we did have the rev match on.
And yeah.
I don't remember it on the upshift. All right. De Niro is starring in an F1 movie for
yeah,
Netflix.
Yeah. So, Netflix. So, there wasn't a lot of information about it. It was, it was basically De Niro's in this Netflix movie. I had this note here about it, but it was it's kind of a heist, film, and I believe it was he plays this role. They were unclear about the role, but one racing prodigy is forced to become a getaway driver to save the only family he has left.
Oh boy,
yeah, and.
Didn't they?
They
kind of did it with Baby Driver,
or
Spacey had the goods on him and he owed him like that thing.
Yeah,
where it's
well,
like,
there's the Getaway. I don't know if you saw that
right.
one.
Mm-hmm.
Right, which fantastic. Not a very good movie. Fantastic car sounds.
Is that the Steve McQueen one?
No, Getaway is. There was an Alec Baldwin movie called The Getaway.
Oh, there's that one. Right.
This was the Ethan Hawke.
Oh, that one
in the GT500.
What was the Steve McQueen, The Getaway?
The Getaway. So Robert De Niro and John Boyega from Star Wars films. I assume he's the young prodigy.
I wouldn't know.
I assume he's the young prodigy. Mm-hmm. And this is a film done for Netflix. They didn't say much else about it, but it was just kind of interesting. And also, we're kind of pulling some attention toward... Netflix, I think, is wrapped season 3 of their series Formula One, Drive to Survive. So,
oh yeah, I gotta watch.
There's a little bit of
is season 3 on yet?
I think it says it's just wrapped. I don't know if it's on there yet.
All right, I'm gonna look because I love that.
And I believe they are working on a mini series, loosely based on Senna. Sort of a fictionalized miniseries based off of Senna that's due out in 2022, also on Netflix. So maybe there's a couple car guys over on over at Netflix, or they understood that that movies like Ford v Ferrari do well, and
yeah,
it's kind of a and Rush did well, and
yeah,
not to mention the Fast and Furious franchise makes billions of dollars.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be nice if we could get more of that in play. I mean, obviously, it's helpful for us. I mean, the way the business works is you make a volcano movie, you know, you do two volcano movies, they both suck, you do it in a 9-month period, and there's no more volcano movies for the next 30 years.
Yeah.
That's just, and if you had the best volcano movie ever in 2001, the best script ever, they would never make it, because they go, we're done with volcano movies.
When we were in that phase, what was your favorite, Dante's Peak or Volcano?
I'm going with Volcano.
Volcano. But the, right. Well, because they had the L.A. River. The L.A. River.
And it rolled down Wilshire Boulevard. And Harvey Levin was in it, I think. The point is he's a dear friend now. The point is when things get unpopular, when they get the stink of whatever on them, it'll be a generation before Hollywood makes another Volcano film or another whatever film. Conversely, if there's a couple of race-themed films and they get a little traction, pardon the pun, and they do okay, then Hollywood will swing the other way and start crapping those things out as fast as they can. So it does feels like after a very long absence of you know, race-related stuff, that in the last decade we're starting to get some more material, and we maybe have even more on the way.
You know, being such fans of Cars, I do like the good storytelling, both the fictionalized and the true story stuff. So it's good. It's fun.
Yeah, a little less of Bryan Cranston looking at old stock cars and going, paint's good. Engine's good. Look, got plenty of tread on the tires. That's a selling point for a stock car.
Yeah.
Plenty of tread on the tires. First off, what tread?
What tread? What are we doing with
then
the tread?
Then secondly, it's an old car. It's an old stock car where they changed the tires 70 times during one race.
Yeah.
This is really a selling point. There's tread on the tires.
Tread on the tires. I just don't get the process where somebody writes it and then it goes through how many hundreds of people and they're all like, we're good with this.
But have you seen one stock car race where the guy drove up with the same tires he left with? And like, we're going to get three more runs out of this.
We could save $19 if we just, if we have.
And the fact that he said tread on tires that don't possess a tread. Ugh. All right, let me hit Geico here. Yeah. Do you rent your home? Well, you probably do one or the other. How about you make it easy when you bundle? Sure, bundle those policies with your automotive policy. You do it with Geico. You go to geico.com, you get a quote. You see just how much you could be saving when you hop on over to Geico. So go to geico.com, get the bundle on at geico.com. All right, we'll cut it a little bit short today because I got to run out and grab something somewhere. Oklahoma City Bricktown Comedy Club coming up February 26th and 27th. We'll do a live pod there and we'll do stand-up. Waukegan, Illinois, Genesee Theater, May 6th. We'll do a stand-up show there. Go to amcarolla.com. Go to our YouTube page and watch a bunch of free stand-up there. And check out Uppity and all our movies at Chassis. Two S's and a Y. What do you got, Motorator?
Check me out on social media. I post a little update for the Lightning intake manifold we've been waiting 14 months for. A little video up there.
So, till next time, it's Adam Carolla for Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.